Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, Thursday, April 21st, 1988. Today's services are led by Student Council.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Let us come into this place in an attitude of worship and adoration of our God. May the service be undergirded by our individual and collective prayers. And may we at this time silently meditate during the musical call to worship.
Join me in our litany of confession. We confess, O God, a friend loves at all times. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up.
Hear now the lesson from the Old Testament. Smaller was I than my brothers, and younger than the sons of my father. Yet he appointed me shepherd for his sheep, and ruler over his kids. My hands have made a flute, and my fingers a lyre, and I have given glory to Yahweh. And I said in my soul, oh, that the mountains would bear witness for me, and oh, that the hills would tell. The trees have taken away my words, and the sheep my works. For who can tell? And who can speak, and who can recount my works? The Lord of all saw, God of all, God heard, and God has heeded. God sent God's prophets to anoint me, Samuel to make me great. My brothers went out to meet him, handsome of form and handsome of appearance, tall in their height, handsome with their hair. Them did Yahweh God not choose. But God sent and took me from behind the sheep, and anointed me with holy oil. And God appointed me leader for God's people and ruler over the children of God's covenant.
Hear the word of God from the New Testament. They were given many lashes and then thrown into prison, and the guard there was told to keep a close watch on them. And so following his instructions, he threw them into the inner prison and he fastened their feet in the stocks. And late that night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing God's praises while the other prisoners listened. Not only that, but I believe that nothing can happen that will outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For him, I have accepted the loss of everything and look on everything as so much rubbish, if only I can have Christ and be given a place in him. I'm no longer trying for perfection on my own efforts, the perfection that comes from the law, but I want only the perfection that comes through faith in Christ and is from God and is based on faith. All I want to know is Christ and the power of his resurrection and to share his suffering by reproducing the pattern of his death. That is the way I can hope to take my place in the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've become perfect yet, I have not yet won, but I'm still running, trying to capture the prize for which Christ Jesus captured me. I can assure you, my brothers and sisters, I am far from thinking that I have already won. All I can say is that I forget the past and I strain ahead for what is still to come. I'm racing for the finish, for the prize to which God calls us upwards to receive in Christ Jesus.
May we bow together in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Creator, we come together into your presence as a community. Together we have laughed, we have loved, and we have learned. And together we have suffered and we have cried. We ask that you, now as we come together into your presence, help us to reach beyond the hurt, to reach out, to join hands with one another, and to reach upward, to join our hearts to your holy purpose. It is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we offer this prayer. Amen.
When I was elected president, Beverly informed me that student council was in charge of the chapel today. And I said, well, what should I do? And she said, well, usually the president gets up there and preaches. And I said, well, I'm a youth minister. I don't know if that's possible. She said, well, I think it is, so you ought to do it. So I'm going to do it. My meditation is entitled Mud or Stars. And it's something that's meant a lot to me since I've been here at seminary. Like you, I've come to seminary and I've struggled with many issues and many ideas. And I feel like I've grown in many ways. My way of looking at things, at issues, has changed. Last year, Donna Forrester told me about a series of tapes by John Powell. And I listened to these tapes, and they meant a lot to me. They helped me in a great deal. And one of the stories that he tells on this series of tapes is a story about a family with two boys. And it's just a story. It's not real. But I think it helps me when I try to see how to look at things. He tells the story of this family with two boys. They're twins. One of the boys was a great optimist, while the other was a terrible pessimist. And the parents had a hard time understanding how to handle the boys and to know what they should do with them. So they went to a counselor to find out how they could best handle these boys. And the counselor said, next time they have a birthday, put them in a room and give the pessimist in his room all bright and shiny new toys. And in the room of the optimist, put a box of manure. So the parents decided that that was a good idea. They'd try this out. And the next birthday rolled around, and the two boys were separated and put in different rooms. The pessimist with all brand new shiny toys. And they watched him, and he said, oh, I know somebody that's got a better toy than this. This is terrible. This will break. I don't like these things. These aren't any good. And then the parents went to the optimist room, and they saw him with the box of manure, throwing it everywhere and saying, you can't fool me. Wherever there's this much manure, there's got to be a pony. That's helped me to look at things a little differently. Another story on this series of tapes, or just a phrase, I guess. He says, two men were in prison, and they looked through the bars. One saw mud, while the other saw stars. Like you, I've been through all this year's had to offer, and it's been a struggle for me. And as student council president, I've been asked, what will you do? How are you going to handle this? I hope I can use this year's experience and the year ahead to speak with a prophetic voice. And I hope that we can all do that. Our voice is not the same. We're all different in many ways, but we all wish to speak with integrity. We have a choice of how we'll look at things. We can see mud or we can see stars. But we don't ignore the unfortunate circumstances that are in front of us. The bars are still there. As the 151st Psalm was read, and by the way, I had to use that because we just returned from Israel after our trip in the beginning of March, the Biblical Studies Tour, and I discovered that there were more than 150 psalms. And I thought, well, even if this doesn't tie into the service at all, I might as well use it, because maybe nobody else has preached on it before. But as we learned from the Qumran Psalm, each of us are anointed by God for service. David was different from his brothers, but God chose him, and his father chose him for different purposes. We can use our current situation to stand up for truth. We see this done by Paul in the scriptures you just heard. He was in an unfortunate situation, yet he proclaimed what he felt was the truth in prison. Paul may have felt sorry for himself, but he felt like, even though he was in prison, he had been doing what was right. Now you're probably wondering, is he saying to forget about the present? Is he saying to forget about everything that's going on? To try to ignore the pain and to try to think of only the future? I'm not saying that at all. We've all hurt in some way and continue to hurt, and it would be futile to try and ignore this hurt. Paul used his situation in prison as an opportunity to sing and proclaim the gospel. The situation was unfortunate, but without ignoring it, Paul used it for his benefit. We can use our unfortunate turmoil to be prophetic voices. When I came to Southeastern, I knew I wanted to be a minister, as most people that are here know. But I had failed to define my views in many areas. My ideas on women in the ministry, inclusive language, and confronting conflict have all changed. I'm not happy about the situation here at Southeastern, but something I am happy about is that I've been forced to define myself and take a stand. Because the atmosphere at Southeastern has been open and accepting, I have been able to work through these issues that I once ignored. I will do everything I can, even if it is simply voicing my views and inviting you to voice your views, to continue an atmosphere of openness and acceptance of each of our stories. If I had been forced to conform to certain views on my issues instead of allowed to examine them at my own pace, I'm sure I would have rebelled. I'm sure many of you would have too. As Paul suffered, we've all suffered. Let's hope and pray that through our suffering, the voice of God might somehow be heard. Though the bars are present, let's try to see the stars. In all this manure, there's got to be a pony.
We have come in worship and praise to God, dedicating ourselves to ministry, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are called. In this task, we have the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, who empowers us for every good work.
While we labor together with God, we seek each one to discover the special gifts God has given to you in God's grace.
These are your sisters and brothers with whom you have decided to serve and grow this year. What is your charge to them? Will you, the members of the incoming Student Council, seek to do this?
We
commit ourselves to leadership and servanthood in the accomplishment of our task. We recognize the necessity of working closely with this community. Administration, faculty, staff, especially our brother and sister students. In doing so, may we put these persons before ourselves, their concerns before our own, their well-being at the heart of our own God.
for the benediction and remain standing for the closing sentence. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are the potter, the potter, and that we are the clay. Father, we know that through the experiences which we are having on this campus, through the pain, through the joy, through the sorrow, through the rejoicing, we know, Father, that each and every situation you are using to make us better servants for you. Help us, Father, to continue to be in tune with your will for our lives, for our seminary. Help us, Father, to be the voice that you would have us to be, that we may proclaim your word to a lost and dying world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Depart now in the fellowship of God Almighty, and as you go, remember, by the goodness of God, you were born into this world, and by God's grace, you have been kept all the day long, even into this hour, and by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, you are being redeemed.